give a regular massage?
Yeah, that's on Wednesdays at around 5:45.
Wednesdays at 5:45.
But if you're interested, let me know, because sometimes we meet in my apartment,
right?
Which is about 5 minutes from here. I think you've been there once.
Yes. Yeah, like Bomber.
Right. Oh no, Lag BaOmer was in Har-Nof, but I think he was here at our apartment on a Shabbos, no? If I'm not mistaken. I think so. That's how I remember it. Right, so this coming Shabbos is Tisha B'Av. We don't fast because of the Kedusha Shabbos, and instead we postpone the fast and the Avelus until Yom Rishon. And this happens very often in the Hebrew calendar. In fact, it happened last year and it's happening again this year. But every year on that Shabbos, we read Sefer Dvarim, Parshas Dvarim. So we start Sefer Dvarim. We start Sefer Dvarim on Shabbos, right? The Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, or alternatively, the Shabbos of Tisha B'Av, right? Which is in a sense, it's the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, and that's called, in the language of the Torah, the Mechaber, Tisha B'Av Korim Vaschana. That it means, again, in a normal year, that once we pass Tisha B'Av, the following Shabbos is going to be Parshas Vaschana. That's what we call Parshas Nachamu, because of the Torah of Nachamu. But the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, or in this case, the Shabbos of Tisha B'Av, we read Parshas Dvarim. And the simple explanation, which is pretty widely accepted as to why Ezra organized it, as the Gemara records it at the end of Megillah, thank you so much, that we read Parshas Dvarim on this Shabbos, thank you so much, is because of Tochacha. The subject of Parshas Dvarim is the rebuke and the chastisement of Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. And that's appropriate for this moment of time when we are about to commemorate the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash for our sins. So it makes sense that there is an overlap or a coincidence of Parshas Dvarim, which is the Parsha of Tochacha, and Tisha B'Av, which is the suffering of Klal Yisrael because we did not listen and respond properly to the Tochacha. However, in this particular essay of Rav Pinchas Friedman, Shvilei Pinchas, which he gave a year ago, he's going to take a different approach. He's going to offer a different answer to the significance of Parshas Dvarim and its connection to Tisha B'Av and the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to build his entire thesis on three words. Let's read the Psukim, and then we'll focus on those three words. In the second chapter of Dvarim, it says, Vanefen Vanisa Hamidbara, we went through the Midbar, Derech Yamsuf, Kashadiber Hashem Elai, as God commanded me, Vanosav Es Harseir Yomim Rabim, Vayom Hashem Elai, Lemor, Rav Lachem, Sov Es Ahor Hazeh, Pnu Lachem Tzafona. Now, Hashem gives a command to Moshe, which Moshe relates to the people of Israel, that at this particular juncture, when they're encamped at the foot of Mount Seir, where they encamped for quite a few days, now Hashem says, leave this har behind you and turn Tzafona. Tzafona means in which direction?
North.
So Chazal say that in this pasuk of Pnu Lachem Tzafona, there's an allusion to how to terminate the golus, the last bitter golus. And that's the golus which is called Golus Edom, from which we're suffering even to this day from the descendants of Esau. So it says the following, and we're going to read the Medrash inside in just a minute, but let's just get the overview of what the Medrash has to say. Vanisov Elha Eshar Seir Yomim Rabim, for a number of days, we're at the foot of the mountain, and we're sort of like going around in circles. Those circles represent the golos. And which particular exile? The exile of the Bnei Banav Shel Esav, which is called Edom. And HaKadosh Baruch wants to give us a chizuk. He wants to strengthen our hands in the golos and tell us that we have a way out, that there will be a redemption, and we should not lose hope and faith even in the bitter golos of Edom, which is the longest and bitterest golos of Jewish history. We've had some rough ones before that too, but can you imagine how bad Edom is? Rav lachem sovis ahar hazeh. Long enough have you circled around this mountain, which represents and symbolically represents the golos of Edom. Pnu lachem tzafona. What does that mean, tzafona? Hitzpinu atzmachem b'torah. Amar Rabbi Chiya, this is in the middle column, in dark print, bold print. God turns to Klal Yisrael. Im ra'isem oso, if you see your enemy, shemavakish l'sgaras b'chem, and he's about to confront you, then al tamdu kenegdo. Don't stand there and face him in a head-on collision. But rather, Ella, the eights of the advice of God is hatzpinu atzmachem mimenu achiyavar olama. In a sense, it means to hide from him, because the word latzpin or tzafon means hidden or concealed, until finally he passes. And that's what it means, pnu lachem tzafona. That's Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Yehuda says the following. God turns to Israel, Bodo Shalola, Aviv mevarcho al charbucha tichye, v'yato maskim imo, v'yomer lono atzpinu atzmachem miponov, lehecha nivrach. The people of Israel turn to God and they say, look, you accepted the blessing of Yitzchak for Esav, that he will live by the sword. In other words, you gave him the license to destroy life. Now, you're telling us that Spinu Atzmachem Mipanov, that we should hide from him. Very nice. But where are we going to hide? He's going to find us. Even if we go underground, he'll blow us up underground. We go into the forest, he'll send the dogs after us, and he'll catch us in the forest. So God responds, "In Ra'isim Shemizdavig Lachem, if you see that he's approaching you, meaning he's trying to destroy you, Baruchu LeTorah, you should escape to the Torah. The Ein Tzafona El Torah. I have a pasuk in Mishle which indicates that Tzafon is a reference to the Torah, and the pasuk reads Yitzfon LeYesharim Toshia. Toshia means wisdom. So the upright will be able to achieve wisdom, and that's the wisdom of the Torah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hamtinu ad achshav, Melech HaMashiach lavo, v'yikayim harav tuvcha asher tzafanta lirayecha. When will Mashiach come? When we will fulfill that dictate of tzafanta lirayecha, it means that we will run to the Torah. Now, the Churban Beis HaMikdash was a result of Sinas Chinam, the Gemara tells us at the end of Yuma. But yet, there are many, many statements in Chazal and in the Midrashim that indicate that the ultimate Geula will come from a dedication to Torah study, implying that the reason and the sin that was responsible for bringing about the terrible exile from the Bnei Banav Shel Esav Arasha was Bittul Torah. And this we see clearly from the Gemara Megillah and Daf Vav. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Mai Dechsiv, Yuchan Rasha Baal Lamad Tzedek, a very complex pasuk in Yeshayahu and Navi. Amar Yitzchak Lufnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So again, it's Rabbi Yitzchak who's making the statement, but he's claiming that this pasuk in Yeshayah is really a statement of Yitzchak Avinu. Ribono Shel Olam, Yuchan Esav, should you show grace on Esav? Amalo Rasha Hu. Why do you expect any sort of grace for Esav, he's an evildoer. Amalo, so Yitzhak turns to the Kodesh Baruch in a question. He says, Baal Lomed Tzedek, is there no one who can somehow justify and raise or express the merits of Esav? Amalo, Kodesh Baruch responds, the Eretz Nechochos Ya'avel, which translates as Asid Hu Lahachrivis Yushlaim Beis HaMikdash. How can we find any sort of a merit to protect Esav when his descendants are going to destroy Yerushalayim in the Beis HaMikdash? Amalosi Yitzchak says, Im Kain Bal Yira Geus Hashem, I will not see that gaiva of Esav against God. So we see clearly is that the Golas of Edom, the descendants of Esav, represent the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says the following, Omra Knesset Yisrof Ne'akosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Ra'isa She'esav Arash Abba, V'yosid La'achris Beis HaMikdash, Magali Yisrael, Magali Yisrael Me'aretzom. The Medrash points out that Knesset Yisrael cry out to God, Almighty, you realize that this Rasha Esav will eventually destroy the Beis HaMikdash. He's going to send the Jewish people into exile. You'll see this in the Arch of Titus in Rome. So the Gemara says that when Titus, the terrible King Titus, who ultimately became the Caesar of Rome, he came and he advanced on Yerushalayim with his myriads of soldiers in order to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. Yotzasa baskol v'yomrlo Rasha ben Rasha ben Beno shel Esav haRasha. You are coming to destroy the Beis HaMikdash because you are the descendant of Esav, who is the Rasha. So now we see that the entire process of Churban Beis HaMikdash is brought about, how are you? By, if, in case you want a text, I have a copy of the text here. I don't know if you like a text. Is brought about by the descendants of Esav. So again, we're now in the last period of exile, and this is the exile of Rome, of Edom, of the descendants of Esav HaRasha. Now, what salvation could we have from Esav HaRasha? If we face him head on and we try to destroy him,
they should turn on the air conditioner.
Then we're not going to be able to defeat him. He's too powerful of an enemy because he, Esav, received the blessing of Yitzchak al Charbucha Tichya. The only possibility we have is to fulfill what God says here in this week's parasha, in Parashas Dvarim, Pnu Lachem Tzafona. We have to run towards the north. So we have to understand what is going to save us from this powerful enemy that has caused our exile and our suffering for so many millennia, for so many centuries, destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. What can we hope for? So in order to understand the answer to this question, we have to go back to the Brachos of Yitzchak, that whole episode in Parshas, Toldos. And it says the following. When Yaakov comes in to take the brachos, Yitzchak is already suspicious, and he declares, "Hakol kol Yaakov, v'yadayim yedei Esav." On the one hand, I hear the voice of Yaakov; on the other hand, I feel the hands of Esav. So the Medrash says there's a much deeper meaning to that statement, and it means that the secret of Yaakov is the kol, is the voice. What is that voice dedicated to? So the Medrash says, "V'shasha Yaakov marchin bekolo," when he raises his voice in a sing song, and he's dedicated to the study of Torah. That's called Kol Kol Yaakov. But if, on the other hand, he's not dedicated to the study of Torah, then it's going to be Yadayim Yudei Esav. Then the hands of Esav, Al Charbucha Tichya, will reign supreme. So it all depends upon Yaakov Avinu. If he utilizes his potential, his voice, for Torah, that is going to be the greatest protection against the forces of Yodayim Yudei Esau. But if, on the other hand, heaven forbid, we're not dedicated to the study of Torah, then Yodayim Yudei Esau. So this is further proof to support the position that what brought about the destruction of Beis HaMikdash is the fact that the Jewish people ignored the mitzvah of Torah study. Let's take a look at Bilam HaRasha. Bilam HaRasha was approached by the philosophers of his day, and they asked him, Kol Umos Etzel, every nation sent a representative to Bilam, and asked him, do we have a chance to defeat the people of Israel? Right, all the enemies of Israel are always looking for ways of defeating us. So what was Bilam's response? He said to them, there's a test. You can use a barometer and you can figure out whether you can defeat Israel or not. Lechu, go ahead, v'chizrael bati knesios u'bati midrash lehem, pass by their synagogues, their houses of study. If you find that the children are singing a voice of Torah, ein atem yecholim lahem, there's no way that you could defeat the people of Israel. Why? Because hakol kol Yaakov, which means that bizman shekol shel Yaakov motzui v'batik nesios, when that call, that voice of Yaakov is dedicated to the study of Torah, then ein ayadayim yidei Esav, then the forces of the hand of Esav will not be able to reign supreme. So Yitzchak gives Esav the bracha al charbu chatichya. However, even before he bestows that blessing, here we're on page 2, he already foresees that this blessing is going to be a terrible catastrophe for Klal Yisrael, and he declares HaKol Kol Yaakov. In other words, he's already revealing the advice, the recommendation, which will somehow protect the Jewish people against the Al Charbu Chatichya of Esav. And that means that if you see that your enemies are coming to defeat you, then hatzten, right, pnu lachem tzofonu, which means to run away from them and hide, so to speak, in the Torah based medrash. And that will be HaKol Kol Yaakov. So now we know that the secret weapon here of defeating our enemies and bringing about the ultimate redemption is pnu tzofonu. What does it mean, pnu lachem tzofonu? It means to dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah. And the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sukkah, Poga Becha Menuvel Zeh, if you meet up with the Yetzer Hara, this evil inclination, take him into the Beis Medrash. Grab him into the Beis Medrash. Why? Because the Yetzer Hara has one place where he melts. He completely dissolves himself, and that's inside the Beis Medrash. He goes into a Beis Medrash where they're learning Torah. At that point, the Yetzer Hara, this evil incarnation, completely falls apart. He dissipates into thin air. He's totally powerless. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu turns to Klal Yisrael and declares that Pinu lachem tzofona, hatzpinu atzmachem, hide away from him, run to a Beis Medrash. Ashiyavra Olomo, because the Yetzer Hara, who's also the Sarah Shel Esav, he won't be able to enter into and follow you into the Beis HaKnesses, because that's a place that will completely be mevatel him, will completely void him, and he's afraid to go in there. And that's what Bilam tells the nations of the world. He says, you want to know whether you can defeat the Jewish people? Check them out. Pass by the Bati Knesses, Bati Midrashim. If you hear the sound of the Tinokos, Shel Beis Rabim, that are studying the Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises HaKol Kol Yaakov and Ein Yadayim Yidei Esav. So that's great. When the people of Israel are dedicated to the study of Torah, then the Yetzer Hara will not be able to penetrate. The adversaries of the Jewish people, the descendants of Esav, will not be able to defeat the Kol Kol Yaakov. And that's our protection. So if that be the case, we can answer our original opening question. We asked, why did Ezra Sofer, who organized the entire Hebrew calendar, as to which parasha in the Torah we should read on which calendar date, Why did he decide that on the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av, or in our case this year it's the Shabbos of Tisha B'Av, we should be reading Parshas Dvarim? And the answer is that when we face the calamity of the destruction of the temple, we come with the chizuk, the strength of Parshas Dvarim, because in Parshas Dvarim, God reveals the secret of how we can defeat the Churban HaBayis. How can we bring about the termination of exile and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? And all this lies in three words in Parshas Dvarim, Pnu Lachem Tzfona, that we should run towards the Beis HaMedrash, and we should dedicate ourselves to the study of Torah. That's what's going to be the Kol Kol Yaakov that's going to protect us against our adversaries. And if you know, I was a Rebbe for how many years? I think it's 13 years in a Hesder yeshiva, actually in two different Hesder yeshivas. So I was a Rosh Yeshiva in a Hesder yeshiva that's called Malei Adumim, otherwise known as Birchat Moshe, and also of Shalavim. And the philosophy of the Hesder Yeshiva is to try to combine the study of Torah with army service. And classically, back in the day when I was there, the soldiers in the units that were made up of Hesder Yeshiva boys, which are called the Beinishim, that's the nickname that they call them. Beinish is a nickname for Bnei Yeshivot. They were in the Shiryon. They were in the armor corps. Right? How you call Shiryon? You know, the tank corps? You know what I'm referring to? Now, a tank in those days was made up of four soldiers. Today, they now have the new advanced tanks. Maybe you read about them. They're just newly out on the market. And those will be... what's the word I'm looking for? Driven, but there's another word I'm looking for. But anyway, they will be... controlled by two soldiers, only two soldiers. Okay, I have a lot to talk about the Hesder boys, but not for now. Let's just go on. So the Gemara says the following: Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amtinu ad Achshav Melech HaMashiach Levo. You're waiting for the Mashiach to come. What should you do to bring about the Mashiach? And the answer is, you have to be Mekayim, the pasuk that says, Marav Tuvcha Shot Tzafanta Lireyach. Again, the word Tzafanta that appears here in our parasha. And the Tzafanta is a reference, an allusion to the study of Torah. And therefore, the Archaim HaKadosh says, quoting the Zohar, that this last golus, the last exile of Edom, which is the longest exile that we've been suffering from for so many centuries, is ba'a b'avon bitul Torah. It's a result of the fact that we're not dedicated to the Torah. And on the flip side, to bring about the ultimate redemption, we have to rededicate ourselves to Esek HaTorah. And this is all based on the Zohar. Now the Zohar, as you know, is written in Aramaic, but the Shlomi Pinchas offers us a beautiful translation of the Zohar into Hebrew. And that you'll see in page 2 in the bottom of the middle column, Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta, he said the following: Shema, Shema Mar Madua Nisarchu Kol Kach Yimos HaMashiach B'Golosu. He turns to his Rebbe, Rabbi Yitzchak, and he says, perhaps you know the answer to the question, why is it that the Mashiach is not coming? Why is he delayed? So Rabbi Yitzchak responds to him, Lo Isarcha Golos Ela Bishul Bitul Torah. According to the Zohar, Rabbi Yitzchak's response was that the reason why Mashiach is not coming is because of the Avera of Bittul Torah. We're not dedicated to the study of Torah. So I don't have to preach to you people because you're here to study Torah. But there are other people out there who unfortunately are not studying Torah. Maybe because they don't know anything about Torah. We have to bring them in. Shalosh Golios, Golo Yisrael, V'nigalu Mehem, Zchus Avos. Now, there were four Golios. We're in the fourth one now. And the three Golios, which terminated with Geula, so there's redemption from all three, from Paras and Madai and Yavan, they were all brought about respectively by the three Avos. But now we're running out of Avos. We only have three Avos. So what's going to be, who's going to bring about the fourth Geula if we've already used up, so to speak, all three Avos? So Rabbi Yitzchak in the Zohar says, Me'agolos haravias yigalu Yisrael b'schus Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is like the fourth of the series of Avos, And in his merit, there's going to be a redemption from the fourth Golos. And why is that? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu represent that? He personifies that power of bringing about the termination of Golos, the redemption. Shlogol Yisrael al-Bitul Torah. The reason why we went into Golos is because we didn't dedicate ourselves to Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. As it says in Yirmiyahu Vayomer Hashem al-Azvam es Torasi. They ignored and they failed to live up to the challenge of the study of Torah. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God says that the Golos will be shown us in the first three Golos. I will bring them out of Golos and the redemption will be B'Zchus Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But now, we're in the fourth Golos. The only way that I can bring about the Geula is through the Torah that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. When the people of Israel finally rededicate themselves to the study of Torah, then in the schus and the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu and his Torah, I will bring about the Geula. And what it means is that the root of this long, bitter Golos of Golos Edom, the Bnei Bonav Shel Esav, is because it's not Hakol Kol Yaakov. If it would be Hakol Kol Yaakov, which we said, according to Medrash, identifies the call of the study of Torah, of young children in the Beis HaMedrash, that would be a neutralizing factor of the Al-Kharba Chatichya. But if, on the other hand, we're guilty of Bittul Torah, then unfortunately there's no Kol Kol Yaakov, and instead it's replaced by HaYadayim Yidei Esav. And therefore, in our parasha, when it says Pnu Lachem Tzafona, it means Hatzpinu Atzvachem V'Torah. Run away to the Beis HaMedrash. And that's going to be the preparation for the coming of the Mashiach. And then the pasuk Marav Tuvcha Shatzafanta Lireyecha, Tzafanta again is a reference to the Torah, that's going to bring about the Bias HaMashiach. Fine. All this is great, but here we want to turn to page 3. And we have a pasuk in Koheles. The pasuk in Koheles, in a certain sense, will shift our focus from Tzafon, from the north, to Darom, to the south. Or to some sort of integration of north and south. So Shlomo HaMelech declares in the first chapter of Koheles, Holech el Darom, he walks towards the south, V'sovev el Tzafon, and he circles around the north. Sovev, sovev, holech haruach ve'al svivosov shav haruach. I'm not even going to bother translating this. It just makes no sense. But the Rebbe, this is the Radzina Rebbe, if you ever heard of him, of Yisrael, he writes in his famous work called Irin Kadishin that this pasuk is a castigation of Shlomo HaMelech against the Jewish people. And his rebuke was before because the Jewish people were sent into this world and their primary goal is to appreciate the Torah, dedicate themselves to the Torah story, and instead what they do is they dedicate themselves to the Dorom. The Dorom, that's where you find money. That's where you make a great living and you succeed financially in achieving wealth. So instead of dedicating themselves exclusively to the study of Torah...
Can you just repeat the Rebbe's name?
The Radzina Rebbe, his name is Rabbi Yisrael, and he wrote a book called Irin Kadishin.
And where did he live?
He lived about a century ago. He's famous for many things, but we're going to just focus on this particular approach. Right, and what does he say? Let's leave out the Irin Kadishin just because I'm looking at the clock, and I hope that, you know, last week we didn't get a chance to finish, so I want to see if we can rectify a mistake from last week. So he says the following, Holech el Darom. What does it mean that he faces towards the south? The south represents all the worldly pleasures and material possessions of this physical finite world. And that's called the Darom. But if, on the other hand, he is Sovev el Tzafon, if he can combine both the Tzafon and the Darom together, that is the ultimate synthesis, which is called Sovev Sovev Holech HaRuach. The problem is the following. If a person dedicates himself exclusively to the achievement of monetary possessions at the expense of Torah, if he's not willing to find the proper balance between his Torah study and his occupation with accumulating wealth in order to support his family, what does it mean? That he keeps going around and around. He wants more of this world. He wants more possessions. You know, he has 100, he wants 200. And then he ignores and he forfeits his tafkid, his goal or his responsibility of less Okba Torah. So then we have to ask the following question. Your average Jew, is he able to dedicate himself exclusively to the study of Torah? So the truth is that you'll get two answers to this question. You'll get the Litvisher world and you'll get the Hasidisher world. But that's changing as well. But Rabbi Friedman belongs to the old style Hasidisher world. In the old style Hasidisher world, Hasidim were meant to go out into the workplace, into the market, and make a living. Lefarnes is b'nei beisam, to support their families. In fact, this was already a mandate given to Adam HaRishon, b'zeas apecha tocha lechem. You want to eat bread, you got to work for a living. Again, today there's a different style. But anyway, that was we're talking about the Radzina Rebbe. So the Rebbe would tell his students that you have to dedicate yourself in an honest to goodness way to support your family, bring in bread for the family. Now, if that's your average Jew, then how do you expect the Jew to dedicate himself to Torah study? He says, Mawa Eitzo, right before the end of the right column, you'll see, this is Kedai to underline, Mawa Eitzo, what would be a recommendation, a piece of advice, because Chazal say that if a person lives this world and dedicates himself exclusively to making a living, to material possessions, and he doesn't dedicate himself to the study of Torah, he's going to have to come back a second round. So Maya Eitza Shalo Yitztarchu is Galgil Shenis, that he shouldn't have to come back in a reincarnation after he dies.
A Gilgal.
So, you know, Gilgal is not such a good thing. You know, you'd rather achieve what you have to achieve on the first round and not to have to come back for a second round. So how do we achieve that goal if your average rank and file Jew has to dedicate himself to the occupation that'll bring in food for bread for his family? So this is a basic question. We all face this question. How to juggle between our responsibility to dedicate ourselves to Torah and our responsibility to put food on the table and support our family. So the answer to this question depends upon a new principle, a breakthrough principle. Where is a person located? Where does he find himself? So the answer that you and I would give, wherever he is, that's where he is. It's like Waze. You know, Waze will tell you exactly where your car is. They see you up in the satellites. But here we're coming up with a whole new answer to the question, where is a person? A person is where his mind is. A person is where his machshavos are, where his thoughts are. If a person is dedicated day and night to work and make a living, where is his mind? Is his focus totally on making a living? Obviously, he has to be very careful, because if he's distracted during his work, that could be very dangerous for many, many different reasons.
Yes.
Yeah, I have a friend who works in a manufacturing place for drapes. They have some of the most sophisticated machines. He once gave me, when he was putting up the mezuzahs, he invited me to come, and he took me on a tour. He points to one of the machines that makes the drapes. He says, this one costs $1 million. This was about 20 years ago. I can imagine what it costs today after inflation. Yeah, so you have to be very careful. Or, for example, you know, there are people who are experts at cutting diamonds, right? You pay a good amount of money for that. It's a very sensitive kind of work. So a person can't be distracted. I mean, if he's thinking about Torah, that's a nice thing, but you know, I don't know what the repercussions will be. But we're talking on a more of an existential level, you know, subconscious and his latent awareness. So in order to demonstrate this, he quotes the pasuk at the end of the Torah in Vezos HaBrocha. It says, "Smach zvulim b'tzeisecha, v'yisachar b'yolecha." So the Torah, in one Moshe Rabbeinu, in one blessing, in one verse, he combines zvulim, who's out there making a parnasa. You know, he was the tradesman in the ship. He was out in the ships and import and export business, and yisachar, who is dedicated to Torah in the Beis HaMedrash. So what does it mean? Smach zvulim b'tzeisecha. So here's a unique interpretation of Smach Zvulun B'tzeisecha. B'tzeisecha means that you don't have to worry what's going to happen after you die. Don't be afraid of the possibility that you'll have to come back into this world for a second round as a Gilgal Neshama because you didn't dedicate yourself to the Torah study. No. You can be happy B'tzeisecha. And why? B'tzeisecha means after you pass on, because yisachar b'olecha, because you take yisachar into your tent, into your home. In other words, what does a person do after he closes his shop? The day is ended. You know, it's 7, 8 o'clock at night. He comes home. Now is the challenge. What is he going to do with that time? He's exhausted. He would like to put his feet up on a little stand, you know, lay down on a couch, watch television, smoke a pipe, read the newspaper. There's so many different things that he can be involved in. And there are great television programs, right? But instead, he makes the decision of Yisachar B'Olecha. He brings the Yisachar element, which is the element of Torah study, into his house. He is Koveya Itim L'Torah. One of the first questions that will be asked on high is Kavata Itim L'Torah. And that's a person who is Holech El Dorav V'Sovev El Tzofan. He fulfills that dictum of Shlomo Melech and Koheles, integrating both the Esek of Olam Hazeh with the dedication to Torah study. And in that schus, he's guaranteed, and he can be happy about that, a portion of the world to come. He doesn't have to worry about the possibility of his having to come down for a second round as a Gilgul Neshama. So in other words, he says, Lo rak b'boker u'ba'erev, it's not just when a person in the morning hours or in the evening hours, he is osek b'torah. He says that even when he's osek b'malachto, what is his ultimate goal? What is his higher priorities, his system of values? If his tshuka, his craving, b'chol libo, is to get to the moment where he can open up a Gemara and study the Havayah Sabai V'Rava, then even though physically he's located in one area, right? Let's say he's in the Tzofon, but he's really in the Dorom. You know, where is he? Klal gadol sha'adam nimtza b'makom shemachshavto. A person is located where his machshava is. And this is based on Reb Tzadok HaKohen in the Tzidkas HaTzadik, which he learned from the Baal Shem, that b'makom shemachshavto shalom sham hu ha'adam. Why? Because man is not the physical body in the material location where he is, but man is a nefesh. And the nefesh of a person, the soul of a man, is his machshava, his hirur, his hierarchy of values. And wherever a person wants to be, that's where he is. So we don't limit him to the physical place. And that's what the Baal Shem Tov would say, that im osa mitzvah be'amon shleima al yidei asiyas mitzvah zu, he's dovek in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's the purpose of all the mitzvahs, that a man should cling to God. And therefore, k'shemakasher medavek machshavto bo, if a person connects his mind to God, then all of his body is dragged on by his thoughts. And therefore, wherever his thoughts are, he's dovek in Hashem, because that's his ultimate goal, and that's his priority, that's his agenda in life. And therefore, when a person comes up to heaven, the Gemara in Shavuot says, they ask him whether he was koveya itim l'Torah. The first question they ask him is, nasatu v'nasatu b'emunah. In all your business dealings, were you faithful? Were you honest? No scandals? And therefore, he has now answered the first question of Nasata of Nasata Bamuna. Now we get to the second question. Okay, all your business dealings were on the up. You were Yashar, you were straight. But now we have to ask you a different question. Kavata Ethan with Torah. Did you also dedicate yourself to the study of Torah? And the question is whether you integrated these two. On the one hand, Nasata Nasata Bemuna, that's your business dealings. And on the other hand, Kavata Itim with Torah, Sovev, Sovev, Holy Haruch, you have to integrate both of them. And if you are Kovea Itim with Torah, and even during the moments that you dedicate yourself to work, without being distracted, of course, you still have an existential identification with Torah, that itself projects you to the Dorom, and therefore you can integrate both the Tzofon and the Dorom. And that's Svivosov Shav HaRuach, and therefore you will be guaranteed a great place in the world to come. That's why the Rishonim say that when a person makes the bracha on Torah in the morning and then he goes to work, when he comes back from work, he doesn't have to recite the bracha again on Torah. Normally, if you have a distraction, which is called a Hesek Hadas, so then you have to repeat the bracha. Like, let's say, for example, a person loses his focus on his tefillin, on his talis, or any mitzvah that he's occupied in, he's doing bedikas chametz, whatever the mitzvah might be, then he has to repeat the bracha. In the case of Torah, he goes to work, and he works from 9 to 5, and he comes back home, he doesn't have to repeat the bracha. So the Rosh and Maseches the Brachos and others echo this sentiment that even when he's working, he's not cut off from Torah. He's still really identifying with Torah. That's not called a Hesek Hadas. His whole day, from dawn to dusk, is a day that's dedicated to Torah, even though he's involved in work, even though he is dedicated to his job, but nevertheless, he is identified and he identifies himself with Torah. And this perhaps could give another twist, another meaning, al piderech hadrush, to a Gemara in Yuma, a very famous statement. The Gemara talks about the Mizbeach. When the Kohen goes up to the Mizbeach, he should always go around towards the right. Kol pnios shatapona lo yehei el derech yamin. Now, the Gemara tells us that when a person is facing north and he wants to turn towards the Dorom, then he looks towards his right side to go from Tzofon to Dorom. And what that means is that when a person wants to dedicate himself towards Torah, then he should look towards the right side. That's called Derech Yamin. And even though he's on the road, he's on the path of studying whatever field he's in, or dedicate himself to whatever occupation, nevertheless, he looks towards the Yamin, he looks towards Torah. And finally, we get up to the last page, which is page 4, and we get to a very strange medrash, which records a debate, so to speak, between what's called the Ruach Tzfonis and the Ruach Dromis. There's a northern wind and there is a southern wind, and they are, in a sense, fighting a face-to-face confrontation. And this medrash is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Uri Tzafon Uboi Teiman. Teiman is a reference to the south side, and Molamit Sharuchos Asidim Lahachnis Kina Zuim Zu. There's going to be a certain jealousy or competition between these two Ruchos, these two winds. Ruach Hadorom, the one on the south side, Omeris Ani Miviat Golus Teiman, the Golus Hagera, which is Yishmael, the sons and the offspring of Hagar, V'chol Adorom. So the southern wind is claiming that we're going to bring the Golus from the south side. Beruach Tzofon, Omeris, Ani Mevia Golus Mitzofon, I'm going to bring the exile and our enemies from the north. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes peace between them. And somehow they go through the same entryway, the same door. The entire medrash is very enigmatic, to say the least. We're going to try to understand this medrash based on the Zohar. The fourth Golos, the last of the Golios, of the exiles, is the Golos of Edom. And as we described before, the cause of Golis Edom is Bittul Torah. The ultimate redemption from that fourth exile is going to come Bischus Esek HaTorah. If we rededicate ourselves to our Kol Kol Yaakov, to that beautiful sound of the children studying Torah in the Beis HaMedrash. That's what's going to undermine the power of HaYadayim Yidei Esav, and that's going to bring about the ultimate Geula. So we now have a confrontation between two Ruchos. There's the Ruach Dromis. The Ruach Dromis is an allusion hinting to those who accept old Torah. They accept upon themselves the yoke of Torah, meaning the Gisa Bo Yom of Alayla. They want to study Torah exclusively. And they are always on the Tzad Dorom. Harotza Shiachkim Yadrim. I said it the wrong way before, so let me correct myself. Harotza Shiachkim, if he wants the knowledge of Torah, he turns towards the south. The Ruach Tzvonis, that represents the monetary possessions of this world, preoccupation with all the involvement in making money and so forth, parnosis b'nei adam, and that's based on the statement of Chazal, Rotsa Shiyashir Yatzpin, because the Shulchan in the Heichal was on the north side. So those who want to fill up with material goods, they face the north. Now we're in the middle section here on page 4. Now, the Godel Tzidkosim Heinimtsoim Gam Bitzad Dorom Biyosam Kovim Itim LeTorah Boker VaErev. Even those who are dedicated towards the north, which is called Harotze Sheyashir Yatzpin, nevertheless, at the same time, he integrates the south, meaning he's Kover Itim LeTorah. He finds set intervals of time in the morning and the evening, like the Gemara says in Menachos, V'gisa b'yom v'layla, that you have to be kovea time in the morning during the 12 hours of light on a perfect day, and during the night, which is the 12 hours of night, you have to find an interval of time to study Torah both by day and by night. So even though he's involved and dedicated in the Tzad HaTzofon, which is a Rotze Lahashir, nevertheless, his that priority and his value system and his machshav and his chukah and his desire is b'tzad ha-dorom. In other words, I wish I had more time to study of Torah. I give it the maximum, but I wish there was more opportunity. That's the attitude that he takes. Now the Ruach Dromis and the Ruach Tzvonis stand up in debating what is going to be the ultimate cause to bring about the redemption, the ultimate redemption. The Ruach Dromis claims that she'll bring the ultimate geula, the ultimate redemption. Why? Because of the schus of those who are totally, exclusively dedicated to the Ruach Dromis, which means to the study of Torah day and night. Comes along the Ruach Tzafon, which is the dedication to the amassing of wealth and putting food on the table, and she says, no, I'm going to bring about the geula. Why? Because those who are dedicated to working in this world on the tzofon side, but yet they still use their energies, whatever energies they have, to also be on the darom side, they're being koveh eaten with Torah, they're going to bring about the geula. So God says, you know what? Both of you are going to enter through the same gate. Kedei legalis b'kaf, God wanted to reveal that elu v'elu, they're both correct. Both are going to be critical elements in preparing and bringing the ultimate redemption. The geula will come as a result of not only the Ruach Dromis, of those who are the battalion dedicated exclusively to the study of Torah Yom V'Layla, but also in the schus of the Ruach Tzvonis. Klal Yisrael is made up of both elements. And those who are dedicated to the Ruach Tzvonis, they're Oskim B'Parnas Chasov, but nevertheless they also turn towards the Dorom, which means they also at the same time are Koveh Itim L'Torah. And in their hierarchy of values, they integrate both the study of Torah together with their Esek B'Parnasa. And therefore, we know now that we need the schus, the merits of both of these elements of Klal Yisrael, both of these groups that make up Klal Yisrael. Elu Shein Be'emes Zachu Lios Torasam Umnasam, those who are dedicated to the study of Torah day and night. Ashrei Lehem V'Ashrei Chelkom, they'll be fortunate. But as far as someone, we're hearing on the top of the left column, who is dedicated to the Esek Beparnasa, we have to remember how important that group is in the eyes of God. And their Avodas HaKodesh, their service of God, expresses itself in setting up time periods for the study of Torah. Hence, we understand the mission in the Avos, from Gamliel said, Yofet HaMetorah Im Derech Eretz, Sheigias Shnei Mishkachas Omon. What it means is that together with the Derech Eretz, this Talmud Torah, so Talmud Torah together with the Derech Eretz, is going to be a great milah, a great achievement. And therefore, what we understand now is that when a person dedicates himself to Parnasa, to Tzafon, then at the same time, he has to stand in the Dorom, because that's where his mind is, that's where his aspirations and his dreams are, and he's totally identified with Torah, and in that sense, he is now Yofet Talmud Torah Derech Eretz. He's bringing the Torah into his Derech Eretz, or in the case of Zvulun, as we said before, he brings the Yisachar into his Ohel, and therefore, the conclusion is that a person who's Osek B'Malachto, and at the same time he wants to guarantee that he'll have the study of Torah, then he will be representative of this pasuk Uri Tzafon Uboi Teiman. He will be an equal partner in bringing about the ultimate redemption. And therefore the Gemara says, Godol Anene Miyigia Yosem Yerushamayim, how great is a person who enjoys the benefit of his work, of his toil. Ashrei Ish Yirei Hashem Elu Ve'ilu Gabi Nena Migiboso. It says Yigia Kapecha Kitochal Ashrecha V'Tovla. So we have two psukim in Tillin. One is the Ashrei Ha'ish Yirei Hashem. The other is Ashrei Yigia Kapecha Kitochal. And the answer is, these represent two groups that are representative of Klal Yisrael, the makeup of Klal Yisrael, and together they bring about the Olam Haba, they bring about the ultimate Geul. And therefore when we are ushered in front of the heavenly court, and the question that's fired in that direction is, number one, Nasasov and Nasatov Emunah, number two, Kavata Itim LeTorah, we're not going to ask him, why weren't you Ben Torah, who would be an individual that dedicates himself exclusively to the study of Torah? That's not the question we're asking him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that not everyone can dedicate themselves Yom HaVelayla, day and night, to the study of Torah. But instead we're going to ask him whether or not his business dealings were done with truth and with honesty. And then we're going to ask him, was he Kovei Itim LeTorah? And then if he has the schus of not only operating in his business dealings in honesty, but also he was kovei itim leTorah, therefore he has the schus of Torah as well, then that's going to bring about the ultimate geula. And the Shvilah Pinchas ends in the last three lines with a beautiful poetic prayer to God that's especially appropriate for this period of time that we're praying for the ultimate redemption, the rebuilding of the Mikdash. B'schus anshei mischar, in the merit of those who are dedicated to mischar, that means to make a living, right? Mischar means buying and selling. Is hakovim itim leTorah, and yet they find themselves even in difficult positions when time is and when they're exhausted.